Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
To Unfiltered Romance Nights podcast, the podcast where we dive into romance books, spill spoilers, talk spice, and chat with the voices that bring the book world to life. We are your hosts, Colleen.
And I'm Marjorie. Tonight we have a guest whose voice romance fans know instantly. You've probably heard her narrate some of your favorite audiobooks, from emotional slow burns to sizzling dark romances.
That's right. We're thrilled to welcome Lucy Rivers, one of the most iconic narrators in the romance audiobook world. Her voice has brought so many unforgettable characters to life, and we can't wait to talk about her process, her favorite roles, and what's coming next.
Lucy, welcome to Unfiltered Romance Nights podcast, and we are so excited to have you.
Thank you so much for inviting me in. I'm excited to be here.
It's going to be fun. I can tell you that.
We're going to cause some trouble.
Yeah. So grab your favorite drink, settle in, and let's get unfiltered with Lucy.
Okay, so before we deep dive into the world of narration, like or any new project, let's start with a few icebreaker questions to kind of get to know you a little better.
All right. So what originally drew you to audiobook narration and the romance genre in particular?
Well, I was an actor living in New York City. So I got a graduate degree in classical acting, which really means that I was a big old nerd who went to acting school to do Shakespeare. And then I got out of school and I was like, oh, there's not a lot of Shakespeare to be done. How do I pay my bills? What do I do? So I moved to New York City. I was working in New York. I was doing a lot of plays. And then I started doing a fair amount of voiceovers. It was a lot of commercials. I was selling juice and paint and toilet paper and all sorts of fun things. And had a casting director. I was there right at that sweet spot when the iPhone hit and landed. And that changed the entire audiobook landscape. I don't know if people who listen realize this, but prior to that, there was no way to really conveniently carry a lot of data like that. So people were literally carrying out boxes of CDs that you would switch the CD out. And it was a much bigger deal. So the iPhone hit and they just started making all these audiobooks. And right about that time, I had a casting director say, you know, you'd be great at audiobooks. You should go meet Mike Charzuk, who still runs Audible. So I got on a little train. I went out to Jersey. I met Mike Charzuk. He handed me a couple of things to read. One was a nonfiction book about the planet, and the other was a meet cute. It was a romance. Meet cute, restaurant, boy meets girl. I read those, and he said, great, I have a book for you next week. It was a romance book. And the rest is history. 15 years later, I think, is where I'm at. So,
yeah. I can't believe that. I totally forgot that audiobooks, you could go to the library and get the CDs. I totally forgot about that.
I mean, when I was a kid, I would go get the cassette tapes, right? You'd get the little baggie with the book and the cassette tape when you were a kid. It was so fun. It was awesome. Yeah. Yeah.
Gosh, we just dated all ourselves.
I know.
Cassette tapes and the...
Right? Younger listeners would be like, what's you had a cassette tape for your... What?
I know.
Yeah. Date myself, I will tell you that the first audiobook I ever owned as a person, it was a novella because it was on vinyl. So it was an actual record. It was called The Connemara Pony. And when I was like 13, I probably listened to that story, I don't know, ask my parents, hundreds of times, obnoxiously, a lot. Yeah. On a vinyl.
Oh, vinyl.
Yeah.
Haven't seen that in a while. Like, I mean, well, now they're coming back kind of thing, but.
But you can't really put a whole book on it, you know.
Right, no.
Yeah.
Right.
They'll need I don't know. That's
you're gonna need like
everything
12.
Now is kind of like right. Yeah. Everything now is at the tip of your finger, pretty much.
That's
like,
right.
Just grab your phone and then, you know, pick and choose kind of thing. So, do you remember your very first recording experience? Kind of like what was that like stepping into the booth for the first time?
Yeah, so it was a book for Audible. It was at Audible in New Jersey. So I took the train out. I was living in New York City at the time, took the train out and was definitely very nervous because I obviously wanted to do well. And it was, I didn't know anything at the time about genres or whatever. It was a dark romance. I could tell you that now. But at the time, I had no idea what I was getting into. It were like these crazy twin brothers. There was that the male lead was this doctor, but he was definitely kind of creepy hot doctor, you know, dark romance, like, you know. And so it ended up being this really dark, weird ride with a lot of character voices. I had so much fun, but I was walking into that booth for the first time with this engineer, and I'd never done this. I was like sweating, nervous. It was probably not very pretty, but you know, it was fun.
The booth is small.
Yeah, they have slightly bigger booths because they're in, you know, professional settings. So their booths are probably more like 6x4, maybe 8x6, something like that. My booth that I'm in right now currently it's like a phone booth. When people come to my house, they're like, oh, you have a TARDIS. If you guys are Doctor Who fans, people always come in like, you have a TARDIS in your house. And I'm like, yeah, kind of. That's kind of what it looks
oh
like.
Oh, my God.
No, it's like a 4x4. Tiny padded room, which also makes a lot of sense when you get to know narrators.
Oh, I'm jealous. I want a 4x4 room just to hide.
Like make it blend in with the wall and then nobody can find you.
Oh, now you're thinking I need my booth to actually just disappear. Oh,
there you go.
Hide from, like, you know, like I'm done peopling.
Go I'm peopling. Bye.
Ring.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Well, when you're not narrating, what do you do to recharge or to have fun?
Well, during the work day, I definitely, I start my work day off every morning with like a 4-mile hike with my dog. So that is my, get my brain going, get my body going. I do spend a lot of time in nature. And I also do that in between breaks, in between chapters, especially if it gets heavy. I'm like, okay, just get outside, get some sun. And do that. Bigger picture, I like ride my motorcycle. I do motorcycle trips, which is a really great thing for me. When you're on a motorcycle, you really can't or shouldn't be thinking about anything else. So it's kind of like meditation. So I do that. I do hike a ton. I pretend that I can cook sometimes. I pretend that I can garden. It's really bad. I kill cactus in my house. I mean, it's pretty bad, but I try. I do try. Yeah, I think that's the big stuff, but I've hiked all over the planet. That would be my, like my biggest, getaway for myself to reset.
Oh, you should have been here. Was it last week for Biketoberfest in, Daytona?
Biketoberfest sounds amazing.
Yeah. Oh. I didn't go. I live like an hour away, but I know it's like a big deal. I look at everyone with their motorcycles and see all the stuff. So that you have to plan to do that.
Yeah. It's like Sturgis, but in Florida, sounds like. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Very cool. Very cool. Super fun. Yeah. I do every once in a while have people call me when they're doing an MC book and they're like, how do I say this motorcycle name? And I'm like, I got you, babe. I know how to say all the motorcycle names. I know how to say the things like, you know what you're talking about. I got you.
Yeah, I can only imagine because, like, you have to, you know, when you're narrating, you have to like make it sound like you know what they're doing.
Oh, for sure. It's like you get a military romance, and you're like, all right, who knows what these crazy acronyms mean, and how do I say them? And sound like I know what I'm talking about. Yeah.
So it helps that you're an actress because it's not just a matter of opening a script or book and just reading. Like, you have to become these people. So you are, you know what? That's what it is. It's just acting behind the scenes.
Yeah. And in audiobooks, the cool thing is you're everybody, right? Because, like, in front of the camera, I'm essentially what I, to an extent, what I can look like. and get away with, I guess. Or, but like in an audiobook, I'm like, yeah, I'll play the 80-year-old man. Let's go. You know, I'm not going to play that in real life, but it's, that's part of the fun too, is it's kind of like doing,
yeah,
almost like doing cartoons, you know?
Yeah. Definitely.
Yeah. I was like, I feel like it's fun because you kind of do different, you know, sounds when you're embodying like all of these characters.
Oh yeah, it's super fun. I love the books where you get like the crazy characters. Like I love a good paranormal where I'm like, oh yeah, we've got like a brownie, we've got like a person who's 10 inches tall. What does that sound like? Cool, I'm into that, you know. Or like talking animals, or some of the shifter books, I'm like, oh yeah, let's go. What does that sound like? That's so fun. You know, yeah, super fun, super super fun.
Wow.
Okay, so this one is going to be interesting. Do you have a favorite comfort read or audiobook that you go back to again and again?
Wow.
If ever.
That's a good question. I have read Jane Eyre probably more times than I can count. Starting from teen years, same with Pride and Prejudice. So I definitely started off with kind of the Regency type romance in my life. So I've revisited those many times. I've also, I know it's, I'm not supposed to probably say this out loud right now, but I have read Harry Potter a lot. I know that's a controversial thing at the moment, but it's a comfort read. It's a comfort read.
Yeah.
I hit it at a certain point in my life and I will probably always love it. So, you know.
Yeah.
And I have listened to Jim Dale's audiobook narration of those books many times as well, because he knocks it out of the park. I think that's...
I wonder if my daughter loves those movies. I've never read the books. I don't know. If there's no romance, I don't want to read it.
Like, if you follow the last book, does that count? Yeah. It's a really slow burn. It's like a book six slow burn.
Yeah, no.
No, that's fair.
I mean, yeah.
So how do you usually prepare for a day of recording? I know you said you get up and you hike, but are there any other rituals or drinks or any other routines that you have to do no matter what?
Have to do is interesting. I mean, I do my hike every morning. I always have iced tea in the booth and I always have Burt's Bees in the booth with me. Those are my little safety nets inside the booth. And then usually when I get in to start the day, if it's a book that I'm in process on, I'll start by listening to some of the stuff that I did the day before. So I'll just kind of hit play and let it play for 10, 15 minutes so I can kind of get back into the headspace where I was, get back into where the rhythms and remind myself of all of that. If I'm starting a new book, I often will do the first chapter twice, two or three times, because I'll like get into it and find the author's rhythms, because everyone writes slightly differently and you're trying to kind of find their voice and their patterns. So if it's a new book, I'll often do the first chapter a couple of times. And then once I really feel like I'm like, okay, that's what this sounds like. Now I'm ready. And then I can take off running. And then I do this probably very stupid visualization, but for me, it really works, which is when I'm really ready to get going, I just take a nice big breath and I kind of do this thing with my hands right in front of my heart, and I'm picturing myself just kind of cracking my chest open and letting the heart out, because at that point what you're there to do is let the emotions go through you and to be available to all of them. So it helps me.
Self-Reiki.
Yeah, it's kind of like self-Reiki. This is exactly right, where you're just like reminding yourself that you're like, oh, I don't have to like hide my emotions because I'm not at the grocery store right now. The whole point is to like let them go through me. Yeah.
How many hours do you like set yourself a day? Like, I'm so like, I can't imagine, like for me, I have to work an 8-hour day. Like you couldn't do this for 8 hours. You'd lose your voice, right?
I mean, I have done it for 8 hours, but it is a lot. It is a lot. I average 2 hours in the booth usually averages about an hour of finished audio for me. And I average 2 hours of finished audio a day. So I'm probably realistically in the booth talking for 4 hours a day is my average. Yeah. And I take breaks in between, and I'm doing admin and I'm doing whatever else. And But yeah, at some point you just get tired. Your mouth gets tired. You start stumbling over things and you're like, I can't say a T anymore. I don't know. It's time to step out of the booth, kid.
Right. Yeah. I can only imagine because you're the only one that's talking the whole time.
Like, right? Yeah, I know.
Pretty much.
Yeah, you tend to get more bloopers, or at least I do, at the end of the day, where all of a sudden I'm Elmer Fudd, you know, and you're like, oh, yeah, okay, time to take a break.
All right. What's kind of like something about audiobook narration that most listeners would be surprised to learn? Like, I guess behind the scenes,
I would just say it's the marathon of voice acting. Like, I think it looks. And it is super fun, and you're like, yeah, I'm going to make cool voices, and I'm going to, and it is really, really fun. I think the reality is, though, that it is a marathon, so you have to, like, set yourself up for that and know that it's going to take you a week to get through a book, and you have to, like, take your time and be calm and be in the room for that, and it won't be, like, exciting, fun voices all the time.
Right.
Yeah, it's just, in some ways, it's more of a regular job, I guess, than some people would think in that way, where I'm like, all right, time to go to the office. My office happens to have a microphone. And I'm going to be some romantic guy, but otherwise it's remarkably like a regular job. I don't know. It's weird. Yeah. And I'm also at the point, because I've been doing this for 15 years now, so I can be fully into a book and fully in the moment. And my brain can have those moments where it's like, oh, there was a weird noise after that sentence. You got to go back and clean it up. And I'll keep going and I'm doing this thing, but this other part of my brain can go there. I get to a good stopping place. I go back. I'm like, there's that noise I heard. I'm going to take it out. And then move back. So it's funny that your brain can also start to compartmentalize different things because you've been doing it long enough where you're like, I'm fully in the story. And I can also go, oh, my dog barked right there. Okay. I got to go back and get that. Yeah. Yeah.
So do you kind of still edit portion of your work before you?
Yeah, I mean, most stuff now is done at a home studio like mine. Some people in big cities are still going into studios with engineers, but a lot of us do have home studios. And so you record in what they call punch and roll. So I record until I make a mistake, and then I go back and I find the most logical place to cut in, which is usually the start of a sentence. And then I go and I cut in and then continue forward. So you're constantly editing as you go. Your ideal is that you're sending off basically fully finished work to the proofer, who then goes through and finds the things that you just didn't catch, where you switched a word out or your brain did some crazy thing where it flipped two words in a sentence and now they're backwards and stuff like that. But you are editing all the time as you go. Yeah.
And in that case, like, say you flipped words, do they send it back to you and say, you know, redo page 30, line, whatever. Is it like that or no?
Yeah, no, they send you corrections. You'll hear narrators talk about a corrections packet. So they'll send me a corrections packet and it'll be like, here are the 30 lines you messed up. They'll note what you did, you know, is it you flip the words, you whatever it is. So they give you a note and they pull the sample and send it to you so you can hear it because they also want you to match your performance as much as you can, right? Because it wants to blend in seamlessly. So you're trying to match your original energy, your original tone, all of that. And then you re-record. Usually it's that sentence. It's not a whole page. It's usually literally the sentence. Yeah. And then an editor will put that in and clean it up and off we go. Yeah. But the goal is usually kind of word perfect, word for word with the author. Your job is to hit every word the same. So, yeah.
That's interesting. Like, you know, like to just like, no, you just like did one sentence that you have to like redo kind of thing.
It's the most miserable when you find out that you're like, oh, either didn't say this character's name the way the author wanted it or something. You're like, oh, now we got to go fix that for the entire book.
Oh, shit. No.
Yeah. It doesn't happen very often anymore because I know to ask now.
Yes.
It happened kind of early on, but now I'll get a book where I'm like, okay, our lead character's name is Carolyn. or is it Caroline? Will someone please tell me how they would prefer that to be said? So now when a name pops up that I'm like, oh, that can go either way, I've learned the hard way to ask ahead of time, you know? Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
I guess that was a kind of like for fantasy, because.
Oh yeah.
Fantasy. Oh, right.
A fantasy. I always am like, does the author want to send me a list of themselves saying all these words? And if they don't have an opinion, I will choose. I'm happy to do that. But if they do have an opinion, I need to know what it is. Because, well, I don't know. That's a made up name. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, you've narrated across different genres, subgenres, from contemporary to dark, fantasy, romance. How easy is it to adapt your tone and performance for each?
I find it's, you know, if you have a good author, it's all in the writing. You know, it's partly why I do the first chapter a couple of times, because you'll kind of figure out, I'm like, oh, okay, so this is, it's kind of bright and perky and funny, and you'll feel that. And usually my narration, a lot of times now, narration is first person. So it really is matching the lead character, whoever that is. But even with third person, I often find, unless it's really removed third person, that I kind of match it to the lead characters a little bit, so that it's all kind of blending and you feel like you're in their world and living in their world. I don't find it's that hard to switch tones, though. I think it's usually pretty clear in the writing that I'm like, oh, this is where we're headed with this. All right, let's go. Let's get really dark and dirty, or let's kind of keep it light and fun and innocent and small town and, you know, warm. Super fun. It's partly what makes the job really fun, is because they're all different, every single book.
I could never do it. You amaze me. Like, I couldn't imagine being like reading something and be like, and then he had his hand on my nipple and twisted it. I couldn't imagine having to say that.
Well, at this point, I'm like, it's basically like reading a laundry list. No, it's right. Definitely. I think probably the first time you run into some really like hardcore, you're like, oh, okay. And now I'm like, all right, show me what you got. Surprise me, I dare you.
Just a regular Tuesday.
It's a regular Tuesday. I know every once in a while I'll get something and I'm like, whoa, I didn't even think that was possible, but okay. Yeah. But it is rarer now that I've done 400 some odd romance books. I've seen a lot of different
versions
of this. Yeah.
That's a lot.
Yeah. But I actually really like, I think, a good sex scene at its core. I mean, yes, there are the nipples and the clits and all the other things. But like at its core, a good sex scene is about connection and intimacy. And if you're really focusing on like, why is this sex scene here? What does it mean for the characters? Is this the first time they've really trusted each other this much? Is it the first time they've ever trusted someone like this? Is it like, if you can figure out why the sex scene is there and how it moves their relationship forward, it also becomes about that more than it's about this body part goes here and this body part goes there, you know? Yeah.
Curious, do you read the book first, like fully read it before you narrate, or you like kind of just like as you go along, you're reading it basically?
I used to read it always before I started, when I first got going. And now that I've been doing it as long as I have, I definitely am better about kind of, I often read the beginning, read the end, we'll look through and kind of say, okay, so where's the character arc going? So I know the pattern I'm hitting. I know kind of the big picture, and then I'll go start. So I prep, but I do less prep, and I know now what I'm looking for. Like, what are the big scenes? What are the pivotal moments? Can I make sure that I'm building to those in the right way? You know? Yeah.
So I know there's like, you know, different type, like with audiobooks, there's dual or duet, or solo, I guess. When preparing for either like a dual or like a multi point of view romance, how do you develop distinct voices while keeping the chemistry alive between the characters?
Well, and then also like making sure that we're on the same page with our co-narrators, especially for Duel. In fact, Duet is much easier that way because I'm like, cool, I'm all the women all the way through. I don't ever have to worry about what Corvin King's doing with his chicks, right? Because we're not going to overlap. But when you're doing Duel, it does require you're coordinating within the characters themselves and then coordinating with another narrator. So I usually am looking at, you know, if it's a set of brothers or something, like what are the age ranges? What are the personality types and how am I matching the voice to that? Like which guys, who's the funny brother? Who's the really dark brother? Who's the, like, what are the big personality things that we can hit? And then how do I differentiate that in pitch or tone or speed or delivery? And then I'm going back and forth with the co-narrator saying, okay, here's what I'm seeing. What do you feel like? This, that, and the other. And then usually one of us will send the other one actual samples of what we're doing. And it's not so you have to match them exactly, but you want to match them in relativity, right? So if I make the best friend brighter and perkier as a girl, he should also make the best friend brighter and perkier as the girl, right? So yeah, so you're trying to like match in relativity so that the story is clear to a listener. So it does require coordination for sure. Yeah.
Now, I know you said that you discuss certain things with the authors. Other than asking pronunciations and stuff like that, how much collaboration do you have with the author? Or is it kind of like the author just says, this is what I want narrated, this is how I want to do it, and it gets done?
It depends on the author. Some authors have, I think, zero opinion. They don't listen to audio. They don't care about audio. They're really like, they trust a producer to handle that. And so all of the questions go to the producer, or it's the narrator's figuring it out between us. Some authors will send you, you know, along with the book, kind of their character breakdown. And some of that is notes about accent or things like that. Sometimes I get from authors like, here's my real world reference. And it's like, they've cast the book with different, you know, this is Scarlett Johansson. This is right. So they kind of give you references, which can be really helpful. So it really depends on the author. Some of them are super involved. I've had phone calls with authors where we talk through stuff. And I've had authors that have had zero input and just want like the producers and the narrators to do what they do. And it can really, it's a whole spectrum for sure. And it depends too, I think, if it's a long series. Sometimes they want to warn you ahead of time, like this person in this book one that has 10 lines, they're the main person in book 12. So don't give them a crazy voice, right? Like, don't make them sound really nuts because they're really important down the road. Right. So those kind of books are super, super helpful if you're building like a huge world or a long series, you know?
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah. I was going to ask, it's like one of the audiobooks that I listen to, Lee Rivers, The Edge of Darkness trilogy. Amazing. All of the narrators are amazing. It's like, was that because there's everyone has different narrators, correct?
Yeah, that's a full cast audiobook. So I only narrated, I mean, I was Stacy and I was Bernadette, so I'm the evil Scottish woman as well, but that's it. Like all of the other women are different women. And I think it's because she's building out the whole world so that all of these different books and series will have those voices all the way through, which I'm like, that's pretty cool. It takes a lot of coordination on her part and planning on her part. Very cool. Yeah.
Yeah. I was going to ask those, like, cause it was a full cast, but I didn't even realize that because Stacy and Bernadette has two distinct, and you can hear it. I didn't even realize until you said it. Like, was that difficult? Because, like, I mean, for the most part, they weren't in the scene together.
Yeah, so they didn't have a lot of scenes together. And it was really helpful that one is supposed to be Scottish and one is British. And sometimes the accent work just does a lot of it for you. And then the age work, because Bernadette's supposed to be like 40-something and Stacey is 16 or 18 or 20. So you can really kind of play with the age in the feel of it, I think, to make it different. Yeah, super fun series. Super fun series. I mean, fun in a dark sort of fucked up
way. I was like, super fun. I was just like, we were texting each other. I was like, oh, this is, well, yeah, I was ahead of hers because I listened to book one ahead of time. So I was texting another person. I was like, is this ever going to get better? What is happening? Like, because I'm sending my therapy bill to you because you're the one who convinced me to do this. And I'm like listening to the book. It was stressful. So I was like, can I only imagine how you guys were like feeling through that?
Right.
Yeah, I definitely was like, can we got to give somebody a happy ending, right? Right? Somebody's
going to have a happy
ending, right?
Jeez, like, because at every turn, it just got more fucked up. And you were like, oh, man.
I know. They really like to put us through the ringer. Sometimes these authors, I'm like, really? Really? You're going to do that to us? Okay.
No. I was telling her, I was like, I actually like the flashbacks better because they were like sweet, you know, like they're just like getting to know each other. It's their, you know, relationship like blossoming. I was like, I like this better because it's like light and fluffy. And you were back and forth between past and present. I was like, dude, I can't do this. Like, I need breaks in between.
You probably needed breaks.
Oh, yeah. That was one of those books where you're like, oh, I got to step out for a minute. I'm going to go.
Took a long time before, like, literally towards the last,
maybe
10% of the book. That's when they're like, hey, yay.
It's good over. Lord.
It's a dark ride. It was a dark ride, that one. Yeah. Yeah. Lee. It's fun, though. In that dark sort of way.
Yeah. So, this one is interesting. Some scenes in romance can get very, very spicy. How do you approach those moments as a performer, like while keeping it authentic and professional?
I think it goes back to what I was just talking about. It's like if you focus on why is the sex scene in the book and how is it moving their relationship forward? How is it moving the story forward? How do they feel about each other? Then you are reading about body parts going in body parts and all these things, but it's about what does it make the other person feel, or why is it different or new this time too, right? Like often it's like the first time someone's ever felt that way with someone, and focusing on all of that and what it's doing for that character. Then I'm like, you know, I don't know, talking about clits and everything else, but what you're really talking about is like, how do I feel about this person, or how are they making me feel, or what am I learning about myself in this moment? So, I don't know. Yeah.
Have you had any bloopers in between them?
Oh, for sure. Absolutely. Some of them I even post online.
Yeah. Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
That's probably awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. I think one of my most recent bloopers was definitely an Elmer Fudd moment where clit came out as quit. And I was like, we're talking. It's like my quit, you know? And I was like, no. Here we are in this really sexy moment, and Elmer Fudd just joined the, you know.
Yeah. That's great.
So, yes, plenty of bloopers and plenty of things coming out of your mouth unplanned.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Here's a silly question.
Oh, sorry. So in those scenarios, like, you know, like the bloopers, do you have to re-record the whole scene or just like when you fumble kind of?
When I fumbled, but sometimes it is like you go back until it feels like the right place to start, right? Because you want to, it's in the middle of a hot and heavy and you're trying to cut in and you're like, no, I got to go back to like here. So I think it's like, where does it make sense to cut back in? Yeah.
Right. Just a silly question. If you've spent all day in your studio area recording, and say you had to use a British accent, do you find that sometimes, like, say you have to go out shopping, that you're still speaking in that accent? Like, and you're like, oh, we've got to turn it off.
100%. Yeah. I do it all the time. I took pottery classes, and at one point there was a Brit in my pottery class, and I was like, oh, God, she thinks I'm making fun of her accent because I'm showing up for class doing my Brit. And I was like, oh, man, she's going to think I'm such a jerk. And I'm stuck in the accent. I get stuck in accents sometimes, for sure. Or even like Stacey and Bernadette, where you're like, Nope, she's Scottish. Go back. Nope, you still sound British. Go back. get in the Scottish, kid. Get in the Scottish.
That's great.
I can imagine it's a lot more prep if you have to have an accent besides your American.
Yeah. And if it's one that I don't do as much, I do a lot of Brit and Irish and Scottish and that kind of thing, but I don't do as much Australian, which means when I'm going to do Australian, I'm like, all right, pull up all the Chris Hemsworth interviews that the internet has to offer and just let me sit here with Chris for a while, you know? So, yeah. So if it's one I don't do as much, then for sure.
Are there even a lot of Australian Romans?
I don't think so.
It doesn't come up as a ton, but they're out there. They're out there.
Okay. Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah. Or Kiwi. Yeah. Yeah. Or Kiwi, where then I'm like, oh no, am I doing New Zealand or am I doing it?
Oh, okay. So what's one of the most challenging or rewarding books or characters you've narrated so far?
Challenging or rewarding? That's tough. Oh, man. I mean, Butcher and Blackbird was very fun, and playing Sloan was super, super fun, super rewarding. That was a really, really good time. And I think also just because people liked it and have a lot of fun with it. And so that always is really fun when that's out in the world. I think Edge of Darkness kind of has that feel to it too. Trisha Wolf's series. Names.
No.
What is the name of that series?
Is it a duet or a trilogy?
It's a trilogy.
I'm kind of familiar with her.
It's a trilogy with Sebastian York. It's in duet narration style. But it's, you know, she's like an FBI criminal profiler.
Hollows Row.
Oh my God, Hollows Row. Thank you.
Yeah, I love that series. I mean, I've read it, but I'm going to listen to it soon.
It's so smart. And you're trying to follow the philosophy and get through that. I'm like, Trisha, oh my God, my brain is breaking. All right. What did I just say? Go back and say it again. Like, you know what you're talking about. Okay, here we go. Challenging, a really smartly written, challenging book. And a very cool series. Dark, but cool. Yeah.
Her Trisha's are very psychological kind of type thriller, serial killers, romance.
Yeah, it's super smart. That one was just full of philosophy. And I was like, okay, here we go. Do I know what I'm talking about? I don't know.
And that's three books to go through.
Yeah, but her writing's so good. And I do learn things because every once in a while I'm like, nope, you better go look that up. You don't know what you're talking about. And you need to sound like, you better go look it up.
So I know you've done 400, at least 400 books in your 15 years. Do you still audition for, for audiobooks, or pretty much they just go to you kind of?
Nope. It's definitely, I get a bunch of offers that, it's the authors requested me and I'm like, that's amazing. But I also get auditions in my inbox. I have two today that I have to go do later tonight. So, I still get auditions all the time. And I don't know if people always love auditions or not. I do. I think it's really fun. I think it's fun to do an audition, get feedback. Sometimes the producer sends notes and is like, can you do this again? I'm like, great. That's awesome. Somebody's listening to it and wants me to play with it. So I really enjoy auditioning, actually. I think it's fun.
So you kind of just record yourself and send it?
Yeah. Well, they usually send a couple pages that they want to hear. I don't know if the author picks those pages or the producer does, probably both depending. So they'll send a few pages and sometimes some notes about the character voices or what they're really looking for, or, what they want in the pacing. Sometimes you get no direction at all and you're just doing it the way you would do it. Right. You're just like, well, this is what I would do. It showed up in my inbox. It's a lot of different variants in it, but yeah, I do. I like it. I like auditioning. I think it's kind of fun.
Yeah. How long does it take you to do, say, one book? like a dark romance. Say it was just, it's a 300 page dark romance. Like, how long does that take?
It really comes down to word count and hours, but you know, like I average 2 hours to one finished hour in the booth. Most dual romances, I would say, come in at 5 or 6 hours. So that's 3 to 4 days maybe for me in a booth. 3 days of work. Yeah. So it depends. But if it's a longer book, if it's a more involved book, if it's a book that's like, okay, I'm going to do a lot of Russian speaking in this, then it takes more time, you know?
Yeah. Gotta be.
I'm like, oh, Russian, lots of Russian. Okay, here we go. Greek. I just did one recently for Lyric that I was like, that's a lot of Greek. Okay, here we go. Greek.
Gosh. I can only imagine, like, for mafia romance, because those are either Irish, Italian, or Russian.
Yep. The Greek one was a mafia book, too. It was Greek mafia, and it was a lot of Greek.
Yeah.
Some of the words you get to know really well. You're like, bratva, yeah. Pahan, yeah. I know what these words are. That's right.
You have to... Do you kind of... look it up, like, how they pronounce it, correct? Like, to get it.
And then there are always multiple versions, so that's one of those ones with the co-narrator. I'm like, okay, I'm going for the pahan with that, like, Russian, right? I'm not saying pahan on this one, right? Because you also don't want that word to be the one you say wrong, because you say it a lot.
No.
That's
funny.
Actually, because I read a lot of mafia, so it's not, depending on who the author is, you know, depending on, like, they're saying it all the time or not, but.
Yeah. Some really lean in and some don't, in terms of language stuff. Yeah.
Or when they actually have, like, a whole few lines of another language.
No, right?
What? And then you're like, I'm trying to find somebody who knows somebody who speaks that language who can record it for me so that I can say it, like, know what I'm saying. Yep, I've done that before too, for sure. Then you're playing that French line 12 times in a row and you're like, did I say it right? No, okay, do it again. Yeah. But that's part of
it. It's a lot more, like, I guess it's a lot more in-depth than, you know, we as the readers or listeners, we just like, pop in our headphones and hit play, and that's it.
I'm doing my best that, like, if a French speaker listens, I sound like I know what I'm doing, right? Or if a Russian speaker is listening, I'm like, I know I won't sound perfect, but I do my damnedest to meet it, you know?
Well, like I said, like, I didn't even realize that you're not British or Scottish, like said with the audiobook. It's just like, it flows through, and I was like, okay. Because, you know, we were talking about, like, hey, Kane lives in wherever. I don't even remember where they're living at. Scotland, right?
Scotland. Yeah.
But he has an American accent because
he had spent a lot of time in the States growing up.
Right.
That one was like an accent. I was like, wait, so who's Scottish? Who's American? Who's British? Just somebody write it down for me. Who's
right?
Yeah.
You have to.
Jeez.
Bane is Russian, right?
He's
the best friend.
Yeah,
like a Russian Scot.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say Scottish, but with a Russian flavor, I think.
Right, yeah. Because, you can definitely tell it's not like just...
Yeah, you're like, good luck, Shaney. Good luck. He's Scottish and Russian. Go.
No.
Yeah.
Gosh.
Yeah.
Where are we?
And then,
here we are. 13.
13. I'm just like, what question are we on?
That's why I always have my pen. I'm always marking them off.
I couldn't like mark this off. I have my pen.
Colleen, I don't know where you grew. Are you New Jersey or New York? Where'd you grow up?
Oh, I was born and raised in New York, but I live in Florida.
Yeah, but
now.
Where in New York? Because I can hear it. It's great.
Long Island.
You're on Long Island. Yeah, no, it's great.
Long Island.
Oh, it's great. I was like, I need to record Colleen so that when I... You know, when I need to in one of my books, I'm going to be like,
there you go.
It's Mrs. Coleman.
So good.
Yeah, call me anytime if you need that Long Island accent.
Call me. We'll have some coffee. We'll talk about it. I'll record some things. It's going to be great.
Yep.
I know. He's so good.
There you go. Now Colleen can be like part of the production.
There it is.
Yeah.
Oh, right. Question.
What are we doing?
What are we doing? Okay. So I know you said you're just kind of like, you know, you do take breaks here and there when you're recording. Kind of how do you manage your voice and energy during, if you do have to have long sessions?
Yeah.
Lots of water. Lots and lots of water. Throat coat tea really is the magical thing that all us narrators drink it for a reason, because it really does help. And then when I'm out of the booth, I just try not to talk as much as I can. You know, there are days I get to the end of the day and I'm like, I don't want to talk to anybody. I don't want to open my mouth. I don't want to do it. I'm tired and I want to close my mouth and I'm done. So lots of water, lots of tea, sometimes lozenges if I really need them. And then on breaks, I just don't talk if I can avoid it. Yeah. Yeah. It is legit.
Well, sorry we're making you talk right now.
It's okay. I finished my recording for the day before this started, so
oh, this is a good one. You have to share this with us. Can you remember any funny bloopers that or any outtakes that any fans would just love to hear?
Oh my god.
Other than Elmer Fudd.
Elmer Fudd regularly. Because all of a sudden your L's when you get tired, you're like queening things, right? Instead of cleaning them. And you just get tired. And clits become clits. Happens all the time. I think the one that maybe sticks with me the most is I was reading this romance novel and the guy was about to go down on the girl. And the line that I had to say as a sexy man was, I can show you the world. And I couldn't, because all I could think about was Aladdin. I just,
yep.
I could not get through it. And I was like, all right, get out of the booth, go take a break, slap your giggle fast. And then I would come back in and I would get the giggles again. And I was like, this is ridiculous. I mean, and the author clearly had no intent of that. And all I could think about was Aladdin and Jasmine and singing.
I was going to say, did you want to sing it?
Yeah. And did I? Absolutely. I think it took me a good like 3 hours to get even like a remotely usable take of that. I was like, this is so
cool. Oh my God.
I just threw it. I can show you the world, baby. I'm like, I'm not.
Yeah. Can you imagine if the guy actually started singing it in the heat of the moment?
Oh, could you imagine? Awesome. And be like, and this date is over and I'm never seeing you again. Bye. Right. Bye.
Yeah. I am not taking my clothes off for you. No. No matter how hot you are.
No.
No.
I'm like, shh. No talking.
No talking. Yeah. No talking. Just abs. No talking. Just abs. Right. That's it.
We just put a ball gag on you and just.
There you go.
Add some kink in. It'll make it better. Right.
Now this is going to get stuck. I can show you. Actually, when you said that, I was like, I was thinking, it's like, did you start singing it during the recording?
Well, I definitely did. I was in here singing it. And I think the other one that I can never, it comes up in like everyday life now because it cracked me up, but it was one of those lines with like the young virginal girl and a very big alpha dude and it's like, oh my god, it's so big. It's never gonna. Oh my god, it's so big. It's so big, right? And then he looks at her. He's like, "Don't worry, I'll make it fit." And I was like, I can't. So now I'm like, I'm in my regular life, and anything comes up, and I'm like, nah, "Don't worry, I'll make it fit."
Oh my god!
Describe the appendix, like those, it's like, what are we like? How big are these? That's like,
I know. Sometimes you do the math that's happening, and you're like, right. Really?
Yeah.
Really? Like, both her hands couldn't fit around it?
Right. Like, I was like,
I know.
Is it like this or this?
Get it.
It's like, what?
Yeah, like, I mean, there is a place where you're like, that's too big. That's too big.
Yeah.
Nobody, at some point, nobody wants that. Nobody wants that in them. Oh, my God.
No.
It's not sexy. It's just, like, full on pain.
Correct. Yeah. Sometimes I'm like, don't think about the math of it.
Yeah.
Just.
You can't. Yeah. Can.
You're like, really? It was, like, 10 inches long and her hands didn't fit around it?
Right. Really? It's like, does she have, like, baby hands?
SNL hands, right? Like a little tiny Kristen SNL hands. Yeah.
I was like,
either that or she's got the black hole.
like, especially when they're, like, going in the back door, like, no prep.
No.
Come on.
You're like, help a girl out, guys. Help a girl out. You know,
I don't care how heat of the moment, like how sexy it sounds, like you gotta prep a little bit. Not just like spit, like a little bit spit. Like,
yeah, please.
Prep that, man. Like
it's only hot on page.
Yes, correct.
It's the only time I need to.
There are a lot of things where you're like, not in real life. No.
Right.
No.
I feel like we've read so much that now it's kind of like you're thinking it like, how is this going to be in real life? When you're not, you're supposed to like just like nope.
Yeah. Thanks, buddy. Sorry, my dog is barking. Everyone, I apologize. He's probably hearing the coyotes out there, and he has big opinions about coyotes. Big opinions. Yeah. It's okay.
So you know, romance readers love connecting with their favorite authors, narrators. Have you attended any signings or plan to in the future?
Yeah, I try to do two a year is kind of usually my goal. So the last one I did was Books by the Lake. I have to remember what they're called. Up in Montana, Whitefish, Montana. It was gorgeous. It was really fun. Really nice. I did that in September. I was supposed to be in Florida in May, and I hurt myself, so I missed that one. I try to do a couple a year, and I don't actually know what my 2026 ones are. So if anyone has any requests, please let me know.
Oh, we're going to go to one in 2020. Is it 2026? Yes.
Yes, it's 2026.
Yeah.
Orlando.
Which one are you doing? What's happening?
It's a new one. Fangirl.
Oh,
I think it's going to be a really big event.
Yeah, it's in Disney World, right? Yeah.
In Disney World. Wow.
Yeah.
That's kind of interesting.
Well, not in the park.
Well, yeah.
No, not in the park, but like, right in the area.
Close
enough.
Yeah.
Sure, let's go in the park and commandeer the park.
I mean,
that's not a bad idea.
That's like a new take on the book event. That's kind of cool. Mm-hmm. I might be like,
sure. I bet you a lot of people would go.
Right? They're like, we're going to go Disney. We're going to do a little Disney. Then we're going to go a little book thing, a little more Disney.
Yeah.
Well, I'll have to look
for that.
Fangirl. That's what it's called?
Fangirls? Something like that.
Yeah.
But there's going to be a lot of, I can't remember off the top of my head, but it's a bigger event. Who was going, Marjorie? You have the memory. I don't.
I don't know.
You are the holder of the memories, Marjorie.
Right.
Yeah.
CR Jane's going to be there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Lucy Smoke. Veronica Lancet. That's all I could remember right now because I was like that.
Okay, well, I'll look at it. That sounds fun.
Yeah.
Oh, maybe Sadie too, right?
I have no idea.
Yeah.
Sadie Kincaid, maybe.
I don't know.
I didn't write them down because it was not so far away.
Everyone look it
I count
up.
On
we'll
you.
All look it up together. It's going to be great.
Yeah.
I don't know anything about it. I know nothing about it.
Yeah. Yeah, I missed out on the one here in Whitefish because it's like literally 20 minutes away from me.
Oh, no, really?
Yeah.
Oh, because it was really fun. It was really nice. It was a smaller one. I like some of the smaller ones. Sometimes they're not quite so overwhelming. Yeah, this one was like 6 narrators and 30 or 40 authors. I felt like nice. And like I feel like I got to talk to everybody, which is really fun. It was nice. Yeah. Some of the really big ones, I'm like, it's a lot of humans. I'm humaning a lot right now.
It is.
You know?
It's a lot.
It's a lot.
Especially like a whole day schedule kind of, that's a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've never been to a large event. I've only gone to smaller ones. You've gone, Marjorie, to Sinners and Stardust, and that's a big event, right?
It's like I enjoyed it, it was a lot. And then, you know, I saw the one from the show, I was like, oh, FOMO. And then I think I was like, well, you know what? I don't like people that much. It's like, I'm good. Like, I'll eventually meet the authors that I want to meet. So,
yeah, I like the smaller ones. I like small ones. Mm-hmm. I love it when you go to a bookstore who's doing an event and bringing in like one or two authors and that kind of thing. It's, and there's like 40 or 50 people there. You get to actually talk to people. It's nice. So,
Do you have any like dream authors or dream series that you would love to narrate?
Who doesn't? I don't know about dream series because I guess they would already be out. So I'm like dreaming in the future. Although, maybe I could know. I mean, I do love a good, I do love a good thriller. Like you could put me in another Colleen Hoover. I've done one of them. Like I'm always a big fan of a good thriller. I would happily work for Grim Weaver again. She's so funny and dark and delightful. I would happily do Lee Rivers again. Who else? I don't know.
This is what we do. We like to put you on the spot.
No, you like, I'm like, names. Do I have even names right now?
I mean, you'll have to definitely come back for the Lee River ones if she.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Base and Lucy Ellis story comes out eventually.
Yeah. I will, for sure. I'll come back for that. I would, fingers crossed. Can't imagine I wouldn't. But no, I've narrated for Daphne Perry. She's amazing. I love her writing. I'm like, bring me more Daphne. I'm partial to small town and like cowboy ones. Because I grew up in a tiny town in Idaho, so like all of those feel very familiar to me. So anything in that world always makes me happy. I don't know. I love everything. Who am I kidding?
Yeah. Oh, it's me, right?
Yeah. Like, no, I thought you were going to say something. I'm looking. I'm like, oh.
I'm a mess. Right. I know one of the upcoming audiobook just got announced. Do you have any like other exciting projects or upcoming releases that you can share with us besides LJ Shen's Bad Bishop?
Well, you said that's probably the next big one, right? I think that just got announced.
She just announced it.
Yep. We just finished narrating that, in fact.
You just finished it?
Mm-hmm.
Nice. Mm-hmm.
We actually just finished corrections. So it is all off to the editor. All off to the editor for the final stuff. So that's super fun, super exciting, and is now out in the world so we can talk about it.
right.
I know. I think some of the other big stuff coming, I just don't think I'm allowed to talk about it.
Oh, yeah. You don't want to get in trouble.
Yeah.
True.
Yeah.
It's different when we have an author on here. We're like, come on.
I don't want to get my hand slapped.
No.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's exciting. LJ Shen.
Yes. Yeah, super exciting. And I think the start of a new series. I think it's book one in the series. Yeah. Yeah.
It's awesome. Mafia, right? If I remember correctly.
It is indeed.
Yeah.
It is indeed. And it's it's a good ride, that book. It's a good ride.
Is it? Oh, good.
Yeah. Just the opening, the way she opened it, I was like, oh, damn. All right. Okay. I'm in. Yeah.
I might have to listen to that one.
I keep telling you, just like, you know. Okay, this is a common theme that I hear, or like I've seen, like, not necessarily argument. If you listen to an audiobook, do you do it like at one, like the regular speed, or do you speed it up?
I mean, I see people get all worked up about that. I mean, you listen at whatever speed works for you. I usually listen at like 1.1 or 1.2. I do speed it up slightly. I will admit that publicly, even though I'm a narrator. That's usually my sweet spot, but it really depends on the book and the narrator. Sometimes I'm like, this needs to be a little faster. Or sometimes I'm like, that is a very dense book. Hold on. Let's slow that down so I can follow it. But it doesn't bother me. Like whatever works for you is what works for you. I don't know. If someone wants to listen at 3x speed, I probably sound like a chipmunk, but whatever, you know, If it works for you, it works for you. I don't. Who am I to judge? Who am I to judge for your best intake of story? I don't know. I don't get on a high horse about that.
Yeah, I think you're right. Like, if it starts to sound all like wackadoodle and like it's rushed, I can't have it sped up. I need it to be authentic.
Yeah, I usually do. I'm like, I bounce back between 1.5, 1.75. I do the 1.75 at the beginning, like, you know, when it's just all like trying to introduce the characters, and then once I'm like in the groove, I dial it back. I tried listening like one time, like, oh, I want to hear how it sounds at 2. And I was like, nothing sexy or nothing. No. I'm like, going back to this.
Yeah, but like, I have some friends who are ADHD who are like, I love listening to things fast. It works for my brain. And I'm like, cool. I don't care. You know, like, I don't know. Whatever works for you. I can't, because my brain doesn't work that way. But you know, I got no judgment. If you're reading books or listening to books, I'm like, whatever way you do it is amazing. That's all I got.
Yeah. Have you like narrated, you know, those ones that, what was it? It's kind of like, if I think it's more on fantasy where there's like those sound effects of, like, if it's thundering, there's like, you can hear the thunder. Oh, when they do like,
what do you call that?
I forgot what they call it.
There's a company that does it, that does like full.
I know. Why is it just, it's escaping me.
I know, me too. I have not done them, but I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I forget what they're called. I know what you're talking about. Yeah, I've not done them, and I don't really listen to them, but maybe I should. I don't. Do you like them? Have you listened to them? Do you like them?
Oh, I haven't listened to. I think I heard like a snippet. Like, I think it was on. Like, it was getting marketed, and I was like, did I hear like sound effects? Like,
Yeah. Well, finally, last question. Ooh. Okay. If you could, I'm putting you on the spot. Sorry. If you could describe your narration style in 3 words, what would they be?
For the last question.
I love it.
Words. Oh, I'm going to be terrible at this. I'm going to be terrible at this game. I know a lot of narrators actually like have those kind of words on their profile. I definitely don't. Words. Husky. I definitely have kind of a lower timbre voice. I get cast as husky. Bold? I'm making words up.
Yeah. Oh, and maybe bilingual, trilingual.
Human. Human. Oh God, I got 3 words. I'm terrible at that game. Wow.
Multi-action, I guess.
What I really should do is just like lean into some words that people are like, what? And like, my voice sounds like buttercream.
Right?
Bicycles. And rocket ships.
Okay, there you go. People are probably like, wait, what?
No, you think about that. Buttercream, tricycles, and rocket ships. And if you think about it long enough, you'll understand that that's me.
Oh, yes. I see it now. Yeah. I hear it now.
You hear that, right? You hear it. Yeah. I'm going to add that to my profile just for you all. We're going to check my profile on Instagram, and it's going to be buttercream, rocket ships, and tricycles.
She came up on this on the spot. We put her on the spot.
That's going on my profile. And people are going to be like, what the fuck does that mean? I'm like, you figure it out.
You have to listen, and you'll hear the tricycle quite often.
Yeah, you'll think about that.
At least when somebody else asks you this question, you have an answer next time.
Now it's in my back pocket. I am so ready. Although I'll probably forget completely. I'll be like, pickles?
No, the next time you post something, I'm going to respond, and I'm just going to put buttercream, tricycles, and rockets.
Yeah, that's right.
Rocket ship.
Rocket ship, sorry.
Right, rocket ship. You didn't get it right.
I love it. I love it.
Oh. Well,
this is delightful. It's really nice to meet both of you.
This was so much fun.
Yeah.
Yes. And I really appreciate you bringing us into the world of audio. I mean, I think we've learned so much that there's really just so much that goes into it. And you are a true artiste.
Oh, thank you.
It's not just like us, like, you know, when I make her read the blurb of the book on our other episode, I always tell her, put your narration though.
She always screws me over. She's like, read that. And I'm like, why is mine so much longer?
Why is this like the one with all the Russian words? Come on.
Yeah.
I was like, look, I was born and raised in the Philippines. Like, I learned English there, but our pronunciation and moving here, how everybody pronounced words, I was like, oh, I'm like relearning the language again.
I mean, I hear you. Like, I had to do that growing up in Idaho because I learned my vocabulary was all from reading because I went to the library growing up all the time, like twice a week. So it's all from reading. So I didn't know how you said those words. And then all of a sudden I moved to New York City and these words would come out of my mouth and people would go, and I'm like, I just got used to really got used to saying, I said that word weird. How do you guys say it? Clearly I don't say that word like the rest of the world does.
We enunciate, like every single letter is enunciated. So coming here, people are like, wait, what? Like, and how we, like, here you guys say sneakers or tennis shoes. So in the Philippines, growing up, we called it rubber shoes.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense, though.
So I would, like, say it, and then they're like, what?
Like, you know, the shoes with the rubber on it. Hello.
Right. So, and then they're like, oh, so you mean sneakers? Like, okay, well, whatever. Like, that's how I grew up. Or I have to translate words to, like, make sense. One thing that I got made fun of is turn off the lights. Well, if I say it in our language and then directly translate it in English, it's close the light.
Close the light. Okay.
Close the light.
Because, but, you know, translation in our language, that's how it is. And when I first moved in with my husband, I said, hey, close the lights. And he's like, what? You know,
close the lights.
Yeah.
Like, you mean turn it off? Like, yes, that's what I said. Obviously. He's like, no.
Obviously, that's what I said.
It's a lot of learning.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
I salute you for like what you do for like audiobooks and how you make them awesome when you're listening to them. It's like a whole experience. So I'm in awe of what you guys do.
Oh, well, I feel very lucky I get to do it. So every day, feel lucky every day.
Yeah. Okay. Well, make sure to follow Lucy on Instagram and TikTok to keep up with her latest releases and projects.
And don't forget to follow Unfiltered Romance Nights on social media and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts so you never miss our next episode.
Thanks for tuning in. And as always, stay unfiltered. Thanks again, Lucy.
Thank you.
Thank you.